You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Welcome to the Mash Those Buttons show, where we cover the latest in games, community culture, and everything in between. On today's episode, we're going to talk about the Super Mario Bros. 35th anniversary. We're going to talk about Epic, Apple, and Fortnite. And we're also going to talk about the Joe Biden campaign campaigning inside of Animal Crossing. This is episode number 20, and this is for release on September 7th, 2020. I'd like to welcome any first-time listeners. My name is Jared, but you can call me Ja, and I am here with the games industry public defender and the scourge of Ironforge, Nick Zelenkevich.
Hey, how's everybody doing?
I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen, and also like to thank and welcome back any returning listeners and give a very special thanks to our Patreon supporters and our Twitch subscribers. If you want to keep up with what's going on with the show, follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/TheMashNetwork. We'd also love to have you join us on our Discord, which is mash.gg/Discord. And before we get to our topics, I think it's a little time to catch up with the host, because it's been a while since we've, you know, had a proper Mash Those Buttons show. I think we released episode 19 right around the time Ghost of Tsushima came out. And then we went radio silent, except if you were a Patreon supporter. We did our extended play episodes, and we just wanted to simplify the format a bit, I guess. Like, you know, we kind of took it back to formula. I think we were trying to do too much, and we just simplified things, so it should be a much simpler show, I think. What do you think, Nick? He's not in his head. I want him to say something, because this is a podcast, not a stream or a YouTube video, and I need him to identify that he is doing something here.
Well, no, at this point, I think I'm content to just let you keep talking and filling the time.
Oh, yeah. yeah. So, I mean, what you been up to, Nick, since the last time we had a public Mash Those Buttons show?
Let's see. I've been playing a lot of new Super Mario Brothers. I don't know if I mentioned it here or on extended play, but I let my kid play with my old Game Boy. He erased the saves, and so now I am working to get that back. Even though it's a 14-year-old game, I don't need to have a completely beaten new Super Mario Brothers save, but I feel like I do. So I'm working.
Well, it's principle, Nick. It's principle.
Yeah. So I'm working on that, and then I don't know. I'm trying to think. We were talking about this in the pre-show. Like, what was the very first game you beat? And it may have been Super Mario Brothers 2, but I'm like, no, I've been gaming for at least 5 years by the time I beat Super Mario Brothers 2. I had to beat something before that. And so I'm just like shook. Like, I can't think. Like, I'm bothered. Like, I had to beat something before that. But every game I'm thinking of, it's either a game that I know I didn't beat, because I know exactly where I got stuck in like every game that I played at that point, or it was something like Tetris or Bases Loaded, where it's like you don't really win those games.
Yeah, I mean, my first game that I ever beat, like on my own, that I can claim the victory for myself, was Donkey Kong Country. And I had been gaming well before Donkey Kong Country came out. I think I was 9 years old when Donkey Kong Country came out. 9 or 10, something like that. And yeah, that was the first game I ever beat by myself. And it actually made me go back. I still had my Nintendo, and I went back and hooked it back up and played all of my old Nintendo games and started beating them too. Just let them know, like, yeah, I'm the boss around here. Well, so, but yeah, I mean, I've actually, in the time since the last show, you know, I've probably played about a good 10 to 15 hours of Ghost of Tsushima. You can probably blame me. Like, I'm just going too slowly through the game. It feels a bit repetitive. And it's probably just me just doing everything that I see and trying to clear the map before moving forward. I mean, the last thing I did right before I ended up, well, I didn't stop, like, you know, I don't want to say I put it down, but I started picking up other games, was I got like the grapple that allows you to grapple into trees. And I was already like 15 hours into the game or something like that. I had already played it for quite some time. So I actually started playing Horizon Zero Dawn again. And I had some initial issues with the launch of it. It crashed on me twice the first time, but after that, I haven't had any issues. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying that for the second time around. It's just such an amazing game, man. It is an incredible game. It does take a little getting used to going from the controller to a mouse and keyboard on that game. But once you got it, you got it, you know?
I've also been playing Horizon Zero Dawn. I've been playing that with the 4-year-old. And he's not that good. Like, he's like, oh, like, we get to a point. He's like, I want the controller. I give him the controller. And we're still early in the game. We're at the part where, like, you meet Rast, and Rast is like, we have to go do something that's going to be really dangerous. And he's like on a cliff face. And so I give the controller to the kid, and the kid doesn't know what he's doing. He walks off the cliff, and like, he does this in like Knack, but in Knack, like, you fall off the cliff, and like, you don't see the character, anything happen to the character. Like, you know, Knack just like reappears at the top of the
right,
cliff.
Yeah. Right.
Like, here, you know, Alloy just falls off the cliff, and then we watch her, like, you know, hit the ground. And like, just before she hits the ground, she starts the next part of whatever monologue she's thinking of. Like, I guess Rast has something important. And then she hits the ground and like her, you know, her body shakes. And I'm like, I should not be like sitting here with a 4-year-old doing this. So I've got to take the controller from him and then, you know, fight him to get it back to get him somewhere else. So yes, I'm also enjoying that game.
Yeah. It's awesome. Yeah. So you're still in the embrace, I think. And other than that, I did start playing the Control DLC, which I'm enjoying it way more than the Foundation, the AWE DLC. I think the big difference is that the Foundation DLC takes place in kind of like a quarry type environment. And in my opinion, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't as fun to play in when you're like playing inside of buildings, right? Like, when you're playing inside of the office spaces. That's where I feel Control really looks the best, because you'll go into an area and it looks like pristine. And then by the time you finish the fight, like, the walls are collapsed and like the columns are all messed up, and it's just good fights. And the enemies have weapons, and, you know, a lot of the enemies in the Foundation did not have guns. They use melee weapons. So I'm enjoying it way more. It's playing out kind of like Alan Wake, where you'll hear Alan Wake talking like he's, you know, writing a story, and he says stuff that's about to happen, you know, and it's like, ah, shit. So now I'm actually taking my time with it. I'm actually finishing up some of the other side missions from the main game. I still have a couple of them left. And yeah, like, I got to finish it, because, you know, if I wait too long, something's going to get spoiled. So, but other than that, no, that's what I've been doing in terms of games, just trying to enjoy that stuff. And yeah, so let's go ahead and move into our actual topics. Let's talk about the Super Mario Brothers 35th anniversary. Some of these items, I know there were rumors that they were going to happen, and it looks like some of the rumors were true. So I think the biggest thing coming out of the Super Mario Bros. 35th anniversary announcement was Super Mario 3D All-Stars, where on September 18th, they are releasing 3D All-Stars, which is, it's going to be Super Mario 64, Super Mario Sunshine, and Super Mario Galaxy, and they're going to release it for the Switch. Out of those three, I'm honestly most excited for Sunshine, and I think that's because I played the shit out of Mario 64, right? And then I did enjoy Galaxy, but I don't think, I was like a lot of people, and I don't think I gave Sunshine the attention that it deserved. I mean, Sunshine's biggest sin is the fact that it wasn't Mario 64.
<You know? laughs> I think Sunshine's biggest sin is that I didn't care for the Delfinos. but.
Yeah, I mean,
that bundle, it made me, I'm like, wait, I bought Super Mario Sunshine. I've played Super Mario Sunshine, and I don't know what happened to my copy of Super Mario Sunshine. Like, I was like tearing through my basement after I watched that stuff. Like, I know it's got to be, it may not be here somewhere. I don't know what happened to it, but I don't have it.
I have no idea what happened to any of my GameCube stuff. I had four WaveBird controllers. I have no idea what happened. WaveBird controllers are holy. You know.
I still have some of them because we still play. I mean, because we use the backward compatibility on the Wii to play some of the GameCube games. But right, yeah. Like, I don't know what happened. Like, I had that. I think I had Eternal Darkness. I don't know what happened to that. I don't know.
The thing I missed the most on my I said the Wii. I meant to say the not the Wii, but the GameCube. Sorry. Yeah. The thing about the GameCube I missed the most, Twin Snakes. That's what I missed the most. I really, really want Nintendo to give up that license, please. Like, I really want them to give that up because I would love a Twin Snakes, you know, HD remake. I mean, because Twin Snakes was the HD remake of Metal Gear Solid. Like, in the Metal Gear Solid collection, the reason why you got, like, original Metal Gear Solid 1 was because they didn't want to remake the Metal Gear Solid HD again because they had just already did that. And maybe, I don't know, maybe they couldn't because they're like, well, this game looks like Twin Snakes. Because essentially it would be the same game. Like, you know. So, yeah. That was a bad move, Konami. That was a bad move. But, yeah, so Super Mario Brothers All-Stars is going to be out on September 18th. If you want a physical copy, it is limited. So your best bet is to pre-order it. I pre-ordered mine through Amazon, and I'm just hoping it gets fulfilled. Because it looks like it. I didn't see anything that said it wouldn't, so we'll see.
How's the disk storage on the Switch?
I have not run out of space, but then again, I am not an avid Switch user. So, you know, sometimes I'll pass by my TV and my Switch is underneath and I'm like, I should play Pokemon and I'll play it. And that happens. And I'll play Pokemon for like a week, make some progress and then just put it back down, you know?
I guess my question is if I'm planning on getting a Switch for Christmas, I should probably pre-order that now anyway. Unless I want to download it, but again, I don't know what the space situation is going to be because I'm going to get on those virtual stores or whatever. I'm going to buy like everything that first weekend. I'm going to be like, yeah, this, this, I need this in my life.
Yeah, I know I know a lot of people they get the extended storage because they put a lot of games on their Switch, but I only put Nintendo games on my Switch because a lot of the other popular games on the Switch are also available on PC, and I'm going to pick PC every time, even if I play with a controller, because eventually they will stop producing the Switch. The Switch will stop working, but I could just move my games from PC to PC, you know? So, but moving forward, there will also be the original Super Mario All-Stars on Switch. So if you had a Super Nintendo, you might remember Super Mario All-Stars and had like Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. And they called it Super Mario the Lost Levels, which was the original Super Mario Brothers 2 that got released in Japan. So actually I didn't see that in the press release. I don't know if they're gonna have Lost Levels again or the original Super Mario Brothers 2, or maybe they're just calling Super Mario Brothers 2, but then what are they gonna do with the American release of Super Mario Brothers 2?
I think they were doing something with the Lost Levels. I don't remember if it was in that set or it was somewhere else, but they did mention the Lost Levels at some point.
Right. So that's available now. There's also going to be Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser's Fury. So what that is a deluxe version of Super Mario 3D World that was available on the Wii U, I believe. Was that a Wii U title?
Yes.
And it looks like Bowser's Fury is a DLC. That's what it looks like to me. I don't know if that's new DLC or if that came with the Wii U. The Wii U is the first Nintendo console I ever skipped. I did not have a Wii U. I always said, oh, I'm going to get one. Then Star Fox came out and it wasn't good. I was like, oh, guess not. So, yeah, but that's going to be available. Super Mario Brothers Game & Watch. So Super Mario Brothers, the original Super Mario Brothers. And it's going to be on a Game & Watch. So it's going to have like a full color screen. It's going to be portable. I mean, it'd be a nice little gift for a kid or something like that.
Yes. You know,
as long as they're not jaded or anything like that. You have to play this with your hands. No. hopefully you got that one. But So Super Mario, there's also Super Mario Brothers 35, which is inspired by Tetris 99, where you will play against 35 other players. And it looks like as you're like, you know, hitting the turtles and the shells and the Goombas, it gets pushed into other people's games. So have you played Tetris 99?
I have not. No.
Actually, no, because you don't have a Switch. I'm sorry. Yeah, no. You don't have a Switch. So yeah, with Tetris 99, you can see all of the other people playing Tetris and you can kind of choose who you want your garbage to go to. And you can like say, you know, I'm trying to think because it's been a long time since I played it, but you can do stuff like, well, whoever has the lowest amount of blocks built up or whoever is like on the verge of death, send it to them and knock them out, you know? So you can strategize who you want to target. And the thing is like when you target somebody, they can see you targeted them. So it could backfire on you. So you got to be careful. But yeah, but instead of having 100 players and 99 players, it's going to be 35 players. Actually, Tetris 99 is the reason why I actually got the Switch online. And the funny thing is, the only reason I got Tetris 99 is because I just got done playing Tetris Effect. And I just wanted to play more Tetris. So look at that chain. But that will be, it's weird because that's a limited one. And that's available on October 1st, and it'll only be available until March 31st, 2021. Which is confusing me. I'm like, you go through the trouble making this game, and it's only available. Is that 6 months? That's 6 months, right? Yeah, so that's about 6 months.
There's got to be something coming in March, because like a bunch of this stuff, they're saying it's only available until March 2021. So there's got to be something coming, because I can't imagine they're just going to take all this stuff only for 6 months and then throw it away.
Well, what else is only available until March 2021?
What would we say? The 3D All-Stars? I think that's only available till March 2021.
For purchase?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't see that was only available until March. That was weird. Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize that. I just thought they were doing the limited physical copies. Which, you know, And I guess maybe they're producing that until March 31st. So I don't know. I wonder if they actually have something planned or if this is more of a Disney Vault situation.
Well, yeah, Disney Vault was trending on Twitter as a result of this because everybody was making that comparison. So
yeah. I hate that shit. Like, it's just like, just put it out, man. Like, you know. But that's the thing. I think they're kind of treating it like a Disney Vault situation, which is kind of like, you know, I don't know. I think it sucks. I think it sucks that you can't, you know, you're basically age gated from certain games. Like this is the first time a lot of people are going to be able to have a chance to play Mario 64. You know, if you talk, and that was a great 3D platformer, excellent 3D platformer. And you can talk about it, but you can't play it. But like, if I want to talk about like a great, you know, third person action shooter, I bring up Max Payne. I'm like, yeah, just go to Steam and get it. It's still playable. It's awesome. You know, somebody can actually experience that now, experience a piece of gaming history. But I don't know. I guess like Nintendo and Disney feel like it affects their brand or helps the brand by keeping things exclusive. I mean, that's how shit gets pirated. You know, well,
there's something life to be finds said. A way. I mean, there's something we said about curating a store and kind of, you know, pruning it to make sure that you don't have, you know, it's too unwieldy for people to navigate. But at the same time, you know, you want stuff to be available. Like, it's all digital. There's no reason for nothing to not be available. Like, you can find a way to put everything in there. And yeah, I mean, if you're doing this just because you want to drive people to buy it because, you know, of faux exclusivity, it's weak.
Right. Yeah. So that sucks. But finally, there was Mario Kart Live Circuit. This is actually the first announcement that I saw, and it caught my attention, where you drive real Mario Kart toys around your home, and the cars have these cameras on them, and they use augmented reality to make the track, essentially. And I'm like, that is really cool. Like, Nintendo, that's what they're really good at. That's why they dropped out the console wars, you know, because it's just like, you know, they're really good at coming up with innovative ways to get people to play things, you know, or to use games, you know.
Innovative ways to get you to spend money when somebody breaks their little racer or loses it. And they're like, but dad, I want to play. And I'm like, we don't have the Mario anymore. We can. And then we got to buy another one.
I am curious if there's like a mechanism that helps it stay on the track, because when I first saw it, I was like, man, if you can't stay on Rainbow Road, how are you supposed to control these cars? You know, keep these cars on the track. Like, how? You know? So, but I think something like that definitely has like an age group in mind for sure. You know, because like I'm like, that's cool, but I'm not going to buy it. You know, I don't think there's anybody in this house that's old enough or young enough to really appreciate that. You know,
I think my kid is young enough to appreciate it, but not young enough to be responsible with it. And so I'm going to get stuck.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, the 35th anniversary of Super Mario Brothers. The thing I'm most excited for, obviously, is 3D All-Stars, even though that 3D world does look pretty cool. That 3D world does look pretty awesome, so I'll probably get in that as well. But I think that's available. That's in February? I forget. It's next year for sure. It's like 2021. That's available. So we have a ways off for that, but that's something to look forward to. But let's hop into our next topic, which is Epic versus Apple. Now, we've talked about this on Extended Play for like the last 2 weeks, right? And we knew it wasn't over. You know, we knew it definitely was not over. But we thought maybe this chapter had kind of folded and both sides are going to their corners to figure out what they're going to do. No. So Epic Games is still trying to get Apple to reinstate its Fortnite app on iOS. Late Friday, the gaming company filed a motion for a preliminary injunction against Apple's blocking Fortnite on iPad and iPhone. This is from CNN, by the way. They filed in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California. The motion says, all Epic seeks is for the court to stop Apple from retaliating against Epic for daring to challenge Apple's misconduct. What? You broke the rules. And you did it on purpose. You know? You broke the rules. And he did it on purpose. That's like breaking the speed limit and saying, you know, like, you know, your point being that the speed limit is too restrictive. And the city or the township, the municipality, should not retaliate against you from challenging your restrictive speed limits. You broke the rules. There is no case here. I mean, it really just feels like a waste of money. There has to be some type of end game here, right? They're not just going to keep poking what these injunctions are there, because they're going to get swatted down every time.
All I can think is that they're dragging this out with Apple, and you're not going to win a war of attrition with Apple. Apple's got more money than anything.
Yeah, so, exactly.
All I can think is maybe they're just trying to annoy them into submission.
But there has to be a better strategy here. It just has to be than keep doing injunctions until Apple says okay. You know, no, like what they should be doing is trying to get other companies to join them. You know. But yeah, I just don't understand it. it just feels silly.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's September 26th is when this injunction is going to be heard in court, and maybe more information will come out, but I wouldn't expect any movement here. And also haven't heard anything about what they're doing on Google platforms. I still think, and this is something we talked about on Extended Play, I think that Epic is going to try to open their own store on Android. And that's how they're going to get around the Google restrictions. And I mean, that's totally fair play on Google. Google allows, you know, outside stores. So that'll be that. But this is just confusing. But one other thing that Epic did is that they did start their Marvel crossover this week. So the Marvel crossover Fortnite season began last week. And also what happened last week is that Chadwick Boseman passed away from complications due to colon cancer. So there is now a Black Panther statue in Fortnite, And I think a lot of people thought that that was something that he did in honor of Chadwick Boseman, but that's actually not the case. So an Epic Games spokesperson, said to Kotaku that the monument was previously planned. And as with the rest of the world, they were greatly saddened. I'll just read what it says. As with the rest of the world, we were greatly saddened to learn of the passing of actor Chadwick Boseman, the spokesperson said. The Black Panther monument arrived this morning as part of a previously planned narrative for the new Chapter 2 Season 4 season. So they had already planned to put the Black Panther monument in there. I have no idea what it's doing. I don't know how Fortnite narratives work, to be perfectly honest with you. I've played Fortnite Battle Royale twice. I tried playing Fortnite Save the World, and I actually liked the mode. And yeah, nobody else appears to like that mode. So, but yeah, I don't know how narratives move forward in Fortnite. I don't know, kind of in Apex Legends, the narrative moves forward because you collect things in game. And then once you're in the menu, you can see like either a comic or there's like stuff to read. Like that's how they move the narrative forward in those games. So, but yeah, it wasn't something that they just did or put in place in honor of him. And let's be real, there's no way they could have. Like if it was in honor of him, it would have came out like at most a month, maybe a couple weeks, but I'll say probably close to a month it would have taken them to put that together and put it in the game, especially with Fortnite being cross-platform. You can find it on anything except iOS and Macs right now. There's a lot of testing that goes involved and that's involved, and yeah, it was planned. So
the Avengers game that just came out on multiple platforms, that also they did, I think, was what do they call More Tables, their little like developer segments when they talk about features and stuff, and they were talking about the upcoming characters being added to the game. And at the beginning of the segment, they had a little, you know, little thing with the Black Panther logo, you know, talking about Chadwick Boseman. And they said, like, the content of this War Table has been changed due to his passing. And they wound up revealing, was it Kate? Why can't I think of her last name? Kate, the new Hawkeye. Is it Kate? Not Kate Archer.
I don't know her name.
I can't think of her name now. It's Kate something. But they revealed her as the next character, and speculation is that actually Black Panther was supposed to be the next character, but they didn't want to announce him right on the heels of Chadwick's passing, that they wanted to, they want to kind of put some time there before they put him in the game like that.
That's a great idea, because if they would have did that, they'd be like, oh, they're just trying to capitalize on his death and, right. You know, stuff like that. So, yeah, no, that's a good move on their part. I would say, you know, give it a little time to breathe and then put it out. So, but I don't know, like maybe they could add like a memorial or something in the game. Actually, it wouldn't make sense if the Black Panther, you know, character actually makes it to the game. So maybe it's just best that they don't do anything, you know? So moving on, the Joe Biden campaign is adding signs to Animal Crossing. This comes from The Verge. So the Biden-Harris campaign released four sign designs for players to download featuring the official Biden-Harris logo, Team Joe logo, and Joe Pride logo, and an image of aviator sunglasses shaded in red, white, and blue. Players will be able to access the designs in-game by scanning the design QR codes through the Nintendo Switch Online app. And I think it's the director of, the director of digital partnerships for Joe Biden's campaign. I didn't realize that was a position inside of a political campaign, but
2020.
2020. Yeah. He says that Animal Crossing is a dynamic, diverse, and powerful platform that brings communities together from across the world. It is an exciting new opportunity for our campaign to engage and connect Biden Harris supporters as they build and decorate their islands. Christian Tom, director of digital partnership for the Biden campaign, said in a statement to The Verge, "As we enter the final campaign stretch toward November, this is one way we're finding new creative and innovative ways to meet voters where they are and bring our supporters together. So I don't play Animal Crossing. I probably will never play an Animal Crossing. I considered it until somebody told me what the premise was, that you owe Tom Nook money. That is, I don't play it.
It's more than just that. It's more than just that.
I am not going to play a game where you're digging yourself out of debt.
It is part of it, though. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I don't know. I don't know about the. I know people can go to other people's like houses and villages and or islands in this game. I just don't know how connected people are. You know. Can you leave comments on somebody's island or take stuff from it?
I think for the most part, you have to leave yourself open to other people coming in. And even then, like, I know, like, you can, I know I've seen people put out, I think, like, island codes to allow sort of like random people to come in, or at least you have to give out like your island code. Kind of like, I think it might be kind of like your old friend code for like the DS and stuff. And I guess they still have those on the Switch. Like, as long as you have somebody's code, then they can come to visit you when you leave the leave it open. I'm not sure how much of a mark they can leave, and so that's what I'm kind of wondering, because I don't know how many people are just like out there like, hey, any random stranger come to my place. I think it's more like, you know, you people are coming in like groups of people they already know, or, you know, people are there just because they want to get turnips. I think they might coordinate like turnip exchanges online. But as far as like, I don't think it's the kind of thing like we're going to have like strangers coming in too often to be like, oh, hey, you know, I wasn't aware that Joe Biden was running for president, but thank you for the sign. I will now consider voting for him. I think it might be more the kind of thing like maybe, you know, when you have your friends over, they'll see that. And that, I guess that in that regard, it's no different than if you had like the Biden sign on your lawn and your friends come over and see that, you know, they'll probably know who you're voting for. Assuming you want to talk about that kind of stuff with your friends, there's plenty of social circles where, you know, everybody kind of know as a rough idea where everybody stands, and they're just best not to mention any of that. So I think this really has to do, I think, with the fact that the, you know, the Biden campaign especially has been taking the social distancing and the, you know, the restricting, in-person events. You know, they've been following those recommendations about what not to do and just looking for different ways to sort of have an online campaign presence. You know, you talked about before with the Black Panther stuff that it took them a few months if they were going to react to, you know, Bozeman's passing, it would be a month or so before we'd really see anything like that. This could very well be the campaign having noticed early in the coronavirus, you know, 5 months ago, hey, everybody's in this Animal Crossing thing, and just now we're seeing these four signs because it's a campaign and they've got other stuff to focus on. And when they do make a decision like that, it might be a little bit slow. So, yeah, I would say that's probably the extent of it here. I mean, you can make your own signs, so I'd have to imagine that you know, like if you really wanted to have a Biden sign, you could have done that yourself prior to this.
Right. We're just making it easier for everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's neat. I don't think it's going to have any real impact on the election. I don't think this is as cringy as Hillary's Pokemon Go to the polls comment from 2016.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. It's, you know, it's.
I forgot about that, Nick. Why'd you bring you? Wow.
You should never forget. Never forget.
I really forgot about that. Wow.
But yeah. So what does that say? That the big game of 2016 was Pokemon Go. The big game of 2020 seems to be Animal Crossing.
One of the big games. I mean, this is going to be, I don't know. This feels like a tough year but there's just a lot of big games this year. Like, I don't think it's like a definitive. I don't know if there's a definitive game. I mean, maybe the most. I think because Animal Crossing hit right as the pandemic was like, you know, going up, it was really popular.
That's kind of the big social game, I should say. Like, I mean, Ghost of Tsushima is a big game. Last of Us 2 is a big. I guess you could say Last of Us 2 was social in the sense that everybody liked to crap on it. But I feel like Animal Crossing hit the zeitgeist for a very specific reason. I think Pokemon Go did the same thing back in 2016. So who knows what game is going to like hit big in 2024.
Right, yeah. Well, yeah, this isn't cringe to me. You know, I was like, this is just, I don't know, it seems like a good tactic, you know. I wouldn't be surprised if there were somebody who made Trump 2020 banners as well, even though the Trump campaign's not going to do it. It doesn't appear like it, you know. I don't know how effective this is going to be, though. You know, I don't know if, like, if you put a Biden 2020 sign on your Animal Crossing island, I'm pretty sure you were already going to vote. And,
well, it's not,
I don't see people coming to your island looking at the Biden 2020 sign about, oh yes, right, it's an election year.
You never know, but I agree.
You know, so yeah, but I don't know. I do like the outreach, you know, it's nice. So yeah, let's move on. You know, a lot of people are using this term Store Wars now, and I would just really like to everybody remember that I said that shit first. Okay. I've seen Store Wars pop up. I've seen articles in the last 2 months popping up about, oh, the console wars are over. 2016, I said the console wars are over, okay? And now everybody's catching up, so.
Pokemon Go, listen to Jarrett.
Yeah. So, yeah, just keep that in mind. Just a little recognition's a little nice. Sometimes, you know. But, yeah, so there was an article on Gamasutra that asked the question, are the Store Wars really upon us? I don't know why they named the article that, because it doesn't really broach, it doesn't answer the question. It just kind of talks about some data that the ex-founder, the ex-head slash founder of Super Data Research posted about commission rates for digital game stores.
No, I was going to say, it worked to get me to click on it.
Oh, yeah. That is what we call clickbait.
Yes.
But, yes. Yeah, so there is a, there's a chart here. Like, basically what happens in this article is the person talks about the chart that Juiced Van, ooh, I should have looked up that last name. Let's call him Juiced, okay? I'm not going to butcher his last name. So Juiced, he made this a chart basically comparing the rates of the various digital platforms and, you know, they also how much revenue they bring in and their revenue share. And the author of the article, Simon Carlos, you know, kind of had a counterpoint to what he was saying. So Juiced believes that the Store Wars is going to be about commission rates. Juiced believes that the Store Wars are going to be, you know, well, this store is going to lower their rates to match this store, to be better than that store. And that's how the Store Wars are going to go. And it's going to be great. You know, it's going to be great for creators and gamers. He actually says, if everyone continues to agree, content creators won't stand a chance. But all it takes is for one of them to drastically lower their rates and game makers and audiences will flock to it. So first of all, he's wrong, because look at the Epic Store. Okay. I think game creators flocked to the Epic Store. I think that part is true. But audiences? No. I don't think so. I think I've seen so many people, like, for example, Control Ultimate Edition came out, and I know a lot of people playing Control for the first time right now. You know, they are, because they were just patient. They knew it would come to Steam, and they just waited. I'm glad I didn't wait, because I love that game. That game was awesome. But yeah, so I think content creators, yeah, they're definitely gonna want to go to the Epic Store for sure. But, you know, or to whoever has the lower commission rates. But audiences, that does not mean audiences are going to flock. You know, Borderlands 3 was a heavy, heavy hitter. And, you know, I don't think they released official numbers on Borderlands. But at least the last time I checked. But apparently it just didn't go as well as they thought it was, because Gearbox employees did not get the bonuses that they were supposed to get, and their bonuses aren't just bonuses. It's like the type of bonus that's basically part of your salary. So essentially, their salaries were cut because of how, you know, I'm not going to say how poorly the game sold. I don't want to say that, but it just didn't meet expectations. So in this chart, and I think we touched on this in Extended Play, you know, Epic is going to war with Apple over their commission rate, which is 30%. But most of these stores have a 30% commission rate. Sony does. The Apple App Store, obviously. The Xbox does. Nintendo does. The Google Play Store does. And the Amazon App Store. Steam's commission rates vary. It's 30% below 10 million, 25% between 10 million and 50 million, and 20% above 50 million, which I think that's one of the moves that caused EA to come back to Steam. And in my opinion, that's a better move for EA than Steam. You know, to be perfectly honest with you. But the Epic Store is definitely the lowest at 12%. And yeah, I mean, I understand game developers and content creators wanting to get a bigger piece of the pie, but there's also, you know, a lot to be said for discoverability, right? If your indie game or smaller game was on the Epic Store, it is unlikely that I'm going to buy it because I wouldn't know about it. I actively have to stop myself from going to the Steam front page because I want to say at least once or twice a week I was buying a game. Like, it'll be on the front page. I'd check it out. I'm like, oh, I'll probably play that. And it's a game that I had never heard of, never saw a trailer for, nothing like that. Steam has, I know there was complaints about discoverability on Steam, but it ain't me. Like, I discover new games all the time.
Well, the problem is, though, that there's so many games. Like, yeah, you're seeing the games on the front page, but if a game never makes it to the front page, like, does it exist in Steam? I mean,
games are making it to the front page not because they were handpicked, but because the algorithm on Steam says, hey, you might like this game. And you know what? They're right. they're right.
There's still so many games on Steam. And you know, maybe a game just isn't hitting the algorithm correctly, or, you know, it's... I would think that if you're one of, you know, it could be very well the games aren't that great too, but I would think that if you're one of those games that is struggling on Steam, it might behoove you go to the Epic Store where maybe there's less people buying games overall, but your visibility will be better because there's less competition to be on that front page. You'll be a bigger fish in a smaller pond.
Maybe. I mean, there are some games I know aren't massive games that I think did well enough over there, right? Because let's be honest, the game developer just needs to make a certain amount of profit on the game to make it worth it for them. Whether they sell as many copies as they possibly could have on Steam is a different story. Like, they literally have to sell, they can sell less on Epic and make more money because of the way the cut goes to a degree, you know. Also, you know, Epic Store exclusives, I'm pretty sure they are getting, they're paying into them. They're giving them money to be exclusive. So yeah, I think, that has a lot to do with it. The thing I think that's going to define the store wars or the platform wars, cause I think that's what we're going to end up calling it. It just sounds better, platform wars. And one thing I think that's going to define that are features, maybe, you know? Like, look at Xbox. Xbox is defining itself by Games Pass. That's how Xbox is defined. Not only game, and I'm not just talking about the games on Games Pass as a subscription service, but the fact that Games Pass works on PC, on Xbox, on your phone via xCloud. Anything that allows xCloud is going to allow the, you know, Xbox support. The Games Pass support. So that's how the Xbox as a platform is defining itself right now. The PlayStation as a platform is still defining itself by its first party titles and hardware. So it's a bit more legacy, I want to call it. Steam is massive and it doesn't have to define itself, but I think Steam defines itself by, it's a little bit more, what's the word I'm looking for? it's not so in your face. Like, I think it's the technology behind Steam, the fact that their algorithm, the fact that I've been a Steam user for so long, the algorithm knows me and it can suggest games that it's pretty accurate on the games that I think I want to play, you know, and that's how it defines itself there. And Nintendo defines itself by doing Nintendo shit, man. Like, that's the best way, because you never know what they're gonna do. One day they have remote controlled race cars, the next day they have a game that has to do with your pulse, you know. you just don't know. And I think that's what the platforms are going to use to try to fight in the store wars, or the platform wars, not necessarily these commission rates. I think they'll remain united on the commission rates. But I mean, even with the Epic Store, so the Epic Store has only been around for like, what, a year or so, maybe a little more than a year at this point. And based on this chart for fiscal year 19, the total revenue was $4.2 billion versus Steam's $6.4 billion. And just to compare that, the Google Play Store, its total revenue for FY19 is $6.5 billion. You know? So, yeah, I mean, that's not bad for your first year. Like, it's not like Steam is beating the pants off of them, right? And I think that's why, like, it was a big enough shift to... It was a big enough shift. And I go, well, actually, there's one thing that just popped into my mind. I forgot that includes Fortnite revenue, too. So I wonder what happens if you take Fortnite revenue out of that number. How big are the sales number for the Epic Game Store? Because this is total revenue. Because, okay, so for example, the PlayStation, it says the total games revenue for FY19 was $20.7 billion, but that includes hardware sales. So that's everything, regarding the brand. Yeah, so I just believe that we're going to see a fight in terms of features. We're going to see a fight in terms of exclusives. Because maybe that's how the Epic Store is going to try to define themselves, is to get these exclusives. They have, I think, two games in the works by Remedy that are going to be Epic exclusive. And before people get bent out of shape out of that, please tell me where else on PC you can find Half-Life. You know? Because you can't. You can't find Half-Life. That's the thing. Like, Steam started as a store for Half-Life. That's how you got Half-Life 2, specifically. You know? They did this argument has been made before. It's the same thing they did to break the mold back in the early 2000s. They had this store idea for Steam. Nobody wanted to use it. Everybody just wanted to keep going to the store and have their CD keys and keep things the way they were. So they forced you to download, like, if you got a Half-Life disc, it pre-installed Steam and then put it into Steam for you. That's how it worked. I'll never forget when I bought Alien versus Predator? Was it Alien versus Predator game? Yeah, it was Alien versus Predator game. This came out, oh man, I want to say in like 2009, maybe 2010. It was a good one. But the disc, it came with a CD and it literally had 3 megs on it. And it was Steam. The CD had Steam on it. And then you had to set up Steam, which, I mean, I didn't have, like, I already had Steam, so I just popped in the code and then I just downloaded the game instead. Like, come on. You know, it was just funny. But yeah, I mean, they changed the game doing that. Epic is trying to shake things up. And what they're trying to shake up more so is the commission rate. You know, that's what they're trying to shake up here. But, you know, yeah. I mean, them having exclusive games... Because right now all this stuff is timed exclusive, so everybody's like, "Well, I'll just wait." There will be games on the Epic Store where you will not be able to wait. You either play it or you don't. You know, so, and they're going to be working on some pretty big names. I wonder if Epic is going to define themselves by pulling like a Sony and a Microsoft and start snatching up first party studios, because they already have a couple first party studios, to be honest with you, that work underneath Epic. Like, People Can Fly. I'm pretty sure People Can Fly is an Epic studio. I'm pretty sure they are. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I thought they were an Epic studio. I thought
they were a Sony studio, but
People Can Fly?
Yeah, I might be wrong. I might be thinking of something else.
Yeah, People Can Fly, parent organization, Epic Games. Huh. Just like they bought Psyonix, didn't they? They bought Psyonix. And that Psyonix makes Rocket League. So like that. So I think maybe Epic goes that route because I don't think Steam has any interest in buying smaller developers to make games for Steam exclusively. Steam barely wants to make games themselves. Valve, I should say. Sorry, Valve.
At what point do we find out that Valve is just run by an algorithm that Gabe has just left like years ago and it's just a headless machine just spitting out printer paper?
Dude, it's just Valve. If you go into Valve, there's just a bunch of like beds and bunks there and people playing ping pong and air hockey. And nobody's actually doing any work because the algorithm's taking care of everything.
Exactly.
So, but yeah, I think, I mean, me personally, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I kind of think competition's always good. As long as it doesn't take too left of a turn, you know, or there's not too much collusion, you know, that becomes a problem as well. But competition makes things happen. I mean, a couple months after the Epic Store came out, you know, all these new functions came out on Steam. Like, for example, the function that I love the most that came out of that Steam Lab is that the 6-second trailer thing that they have. Did you see that? Like, basically now it's like it's built into Steam itself. Like, if you hover over a game, it plays like I think 6 seconds worth of like clips, and it gives you a decent idea of what the gameplay is like. That was something that was in the Steam Lab, you know, and they also have these like these cues for games that, hey, you might like these. And that shit's dangerous. It's dangerous going through that cue. Stay away. Actually, I'm probably going to go check it out right after I get done with this. Because it has good shit in it, you know. So, you know, the competition makes things happen. All these things happening with Xbox right now are because of the stiff competition they have from Sony, which are all good things. So I am interested in seeing how things go. What the trend that I am worried about are more of these platforms going subscription service. That's what I'm more concerned about. I mean, the Games Pass subscription isn't too bad because when they take something off of Games Pass, you do get an option to buy it at a cheaper rate. They do give you that. So maybe, but I hate the Xbox on PC. I hate the storefront on the Xbox. I really do, unfortunately. So I only buy stuff there when I absolutely have to. But yeah, I think that is going to be it from us tonight. I'd like to thank you for listening. And coming up this week on Mash Those Buttons, what we got? We got a new Torn and Goblin, because we're going to have a new Torn and Goblin every week until, when is it, Nick?
24th? Next week.
Oh, that's it?
Actually, no. We'll have one next week, and then one the week after, and then we're finally off.
Okay. So we're going to have a Sit Rep Happy Hour. We're going to have, obviously, a new Mash Those Buttons show, have a new Push the Point, a new Double Tap, and a new Dropping Spicy. And I also believe we're going to have a new Wondrous Tales this week. So lots coming out of that. I have We Are Survivors here on my notes, and I kind of miss that show. I kind of miss it.
If only it survived.
We wrapped up We Are Survivors a couple weeks ago. If you played The Last of Us or The Last of Us Part 2, I highly suggest check it out. It's probably one of my best works, to be honest with you. So it's good. And that says a lot, because I put out some dope shit before.
Where does this hour rank?
Yeah, this hour? Yeah. We're trying to get back on the horse here, Nick. All right, and if you want to keep up with what's going on with the Mash Those Buttons show, you can follow us on twitter.com/TheMashNetwork. Nick, where can they find you?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on WoW Talk, our Warcraft guild and community show, and also On the Torn and the Goblin, as mentioned, our Warcraft story and lore show, this week we'll be talking about, well, we have our episode going up this week for the Maldraxxus short. Next week we'll be talking about the Ardenweald short.
All right, and you can find me on Twitter at Jostradamus. Right now, this is the only show that I'm working. Well, actually, no. This is the only show that we're publishing right now. We have another show in the works. Hopefully, I'll have some information on that in the coming weeks. But we also love to have you join our Discord, mash.gg/Discord, where you can meet myself and Nick and other hosts of the show and join our community. And we would love to hear from you. So please reach out and contact us. You can contact us at contact@mash.gg, or you can reach out to us on the Discord or reach out to us on Twitter. If you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, the best way to do that is to share the show with others and to rate and review the show on your podcast platform of choice. If you want to take your support a bit further, you can join us on Patreon, which is patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. You can help support Mash Those Buttons with tiers starting at $1 a month and gain early access to content as well as exclusive content. And speaking of gaining early access to content, the Mash Those Buttons show right now is not on the early access, but starting in October, probably we're going to start, you know, if you are a Patreon supporter in the early access tier, you will get a few days early access to the Mash Button show. And if you're on the bronze tier, when we do extended plays, because we can't guarantee we can do them weekly, but when we do extended plays, we will be putting that on the bronze tier of the, actually, no, I think I moved that to the early access tier as well. So there you go. But we do also have a Teespring store, which is teespring.com/store/mashthosebuttons. And you can also throw us a Twitch sub if you want to support in that way. And I encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about Mash Those Buttons. And that is it for this week. We'll catch you next week.
Stay safe.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/TheMashNetwork, facebook.com/MashThoseButtons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/Discord.